coming up Friday evening at the Long Center. It's the Purdue Philharmonic and Symphony Orchestras in concert. Joining me in the studio is their conductor, Adam Bodoni. Welcome.
Hi, John.
Finals are coming up. This is a lot of music this time of year, isn't it?
It sure is.
Are you looking forward to the unfinished symphony of Schubert?
Oh, absolutely. It's quite the question. Lots of historians, by lots, I mean all. The blunt answer is no one knows exactly why the symphony was unfinished. There were a few prevalent theories out there that perhaps he did finish it and it was hiding away in some study or some drawer, but that's essentially been debunked. And so most people agree that it actually wasn't finished. The confusing thing about it is actually in his own handwriting, he started the first 9 measures of a potential third movement, a scherzo, and then following that were just 4 blank pages, and that's all anyone knows about it. And it wasn't discovered until actually 30 years after his death in 1860, so it's quite the enigma.
Another romantic work that you're going to do with the symphony orchestra of Dvorak's Slavonic Dance, and these are such charmers. I know the piano versions are lovely, but this is a wonderful orchestration.
Yeah, there's a wonderful story about Slavonic dances. In 1877, Dvorak was applying to renew this, essentially an artist grant he received from the Austrian state, and Johannes Brahms was on the committee, and this was before Dvorak had really become a household name, and Brahms was so impressed with his application, be that his music, that he sent Dvorak to his own publisher, Simrock, and it was this publisher, Simrock, who said, you should create something like Brahms did. Brahms had his Hungarian dances, and he mentioned to Dvorak, if you create something perhaps from your own homeland, which was now Czech Republic, that could really catapult you to fame. And so he did, called the Slavonic Dances. There are 2 different sets, Opus 46 and Opus 72. And it essentially became a cash cow, these Slavonic dances.
Adam Bodoni is my guest, and he has a concert coming up Friday night at 8 o'clock with the Purdue Symphony and the Purdue Philharmonic. You have a special guest joining you for a bass concerto, and this isn't an instrument we normally see out in front of the orchestra.
That's right. They're usually hidden in the back with the trombones. This guest soloist, his name is Bob Goodlett, and he's the assistant principal bassist of the Indianapolis Symphony, and he's a good friend of mine and a supporter of a youth orchestra I conduct also in Indianapolis. So he'll be coming to town to do the Dittersdorf Concerto, often called No. 2 in E major, and we're just going to do the 2nd and 3rd movements of that.
It's a concert coming up Friday night at 8 o'clock, and it ends with one of the great masterpieces of Russian music, and actually of any sort of romantic sort of symphonic works, Scheherazade by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov. This has got major violin solos, but really, as you guys did Capriccio Espagnol, this every section of the orchestra really has a moment to shine in it, don't they?
That's right. Rimsky-Korsakov was just such a master of using the orchestra. We did Capriccio Espagnol, the first concert. I definitely wanted to do Scheherazade, but it's a big undertaking, and I didn't want to do that at the first concert as we were all getting to know each other. So I chose Capriccio Espagnol because it essentially functions as a warm-up to Scheherazade, because he employs the same techniques, like lots of the extended techniques in the woodwinds and also the strings are just on a larger scale on Scheherazade. It's like going to a party listening to this piece. All the kids love it. I love it. There's a tune every 8 measures. Such a great percussion part, the wonderful violin solo, the fellow who's playing it, his name's Peter Farmer. We had auditions for it, and he's just knocking it out of the ballpark. Great harp part. It's really just a magical piece of storytelling.
It fits musically so incredibly well. I'm sure Rimsky-Korsakov, when he was out sailing, saw all sorts of things that inspired him to pick these different stories. This is a piece I'm sure you've played and studied. And how is it to be now on the other side and teaching it and leading this work?
It's a very hard piece to conduct. Having played it in the orchestra several times, me being a trombonist, you essentially rest through lots of challenging meter changes, and so you don't really appreciate what's happening. And so what's challenging about Scheherazade is, except for perhaps the first movement, there's never really a solid groove that goes on for an extended period of time. There's always a change, especially in the second movement. It's every 8 bars, there's a new time signature and a new key signature. And you have to be very aware, and you have to be very clear in the gestures that you give, because there can't be any indifference, so that the orchestra knows exactly what you want. One interesting thing that you mentioned, Rimsky-Korsakov traveling around, how he got inspiration to write something of this otherworldly flavor is he actually went on a vacation with his family to a place that we now hear in the news, Southern Crimea. So he went to Southern Crimea, you know, it's closer to Istanbul and Turkey to the south of the Black Sea, and he heard some music in the mosques and coffee houses, and he was just so captivated by that type of sound that he came back and pledged, I need to write music like that.
Adam Bodoni is leading the Purdue Philharmonic and Symphony Orchestras Friday night at 8 o'clock. And then you're busy again. You've got a band concert Sunday afternoon, right?
That's right. Fall concert bands are giving their final concert of the semester Sunday, December 4th at the Long Center at 2:30 p.m. I'll be conducting with my fellow colleague here, Doug Fletcher. And that'll be a great show, too.
A busy weekend, and we hope you'll come back this next semester and keep us abreast of what's happening.
We'd be happy to.
Great. Happy holidays.
And you, John.